Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 29th, 2024. I'm happy to be here today. I'm excited to be here today. I have stuff that I'm really excited to share with you. And But the first thing I want to talk about, Jay and I were talking about it, and he's going to post some pictures in the chat room of my fall yard. Well, one part of it, the fence that has all the Virginia creeper vines on it. It's the appearance of fall, the beautiful color, I really think is about to end. Yesterday was 80 degrees. Today it'll be 67, they're saying. Tomorrow it'll be 46. With a freeze watch Wednesday night until Thursday morning when it's supposed to be 27 degrees. Colorado. It's just, you know, and it's Colorado and it's Halloween in Colorado. It's going to be a cold night for trick-or-treating, I'm telling you. And I think now, I don't know. Last year I didn't do Halloween because I wasn't home. But even the year before, you know, when we had decorations out and stuff, there was hardly any kids. And one of the guys that came, I said, well, thanks for coming. I've hardly seen anybody. And he said, well, the street is pretty dark. So apparently not a lot of people on my street have Halloween candy for trick-or-treaters, or they didn't that year. But I think, too, that they do a lot of that trunk-or-treating. Like my grandkids did trunk or treat 2 weekends ago. And that's really cool because they live, you know, right across the street from Quinn School, the Christ the King Catholic Church and Catholic School. And so it has a giant parking lot. So that's where they do trunk or treats. I mean, they've got it made. I mean, the kids walk across the street for school. You can't beat that. And then just to have that big parking lot and, you know, be able to, they decorate their car usually and then open the trunk. And last year it was a big shark and they did sharks and mermaids for their costumes. I mean, they have like three different costumes for Halloween, three different. I get so much delight out of it because I'm living vicariously. I'm having Halloween vicariously through my grandchildren and my son and daughter-in-law who do it right. I mean, they do it right. Next week I'll post pictures of their costumes, but what I was saying is, as far as trick or treating goes, I think more kids do the trunk or treat things. You know, the organized things. I think they do them in the malls too. I'm not really sure about that, but I know there will be a Halloween parade for kids in costume at a park by me at Cook Park. Tomorrow, they always do a Halloween parade, and that's just so sweet. You know, all the kids in their costumes just, you know, marching around the park. But it's a sweet thing, and they do it every year, and I think that's great. Reminds me of when I was in elementary school. That was the highlight of Halloween, was the school parade, you know, on Halloween or the closest day to it. At what? School was out at 3:20, I think. 3:20. It started at, I think it was 8:15, something like that, and was out at 3:20. Why? I don't know. But how funny. I hadn't thought about that in years. But as the closest day to Halloween, we would, at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon, everybody got to put their costumes on and do whatever, put their makeup on or whatever. And we walked around the school. We walked around the whole block that the school was on. And that was, to me, I think better than trick-or-treating. That was so much fun, so much fun. And then trick-or-treating, you know, if we made it around the block on dry pavement, it was probably snowing that night. I exaggerate. But I sure remember, you know, my memories of childhood were wearing a coat over my costume. And I know I say that all the time, but for someone that really, really, really loves Halloween, that was a bummer. But anyway, with the freeze coming in, it's, I think the colors, the life of seeing the colors, because the trees are gorgeous. They're just Beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful fall. I think they'll probably all drop off if we really get that freeze, 27 degrees, or at least a lot of them will. So I've been enjoying it. And as I said, Jay put or will put the pictures of my yard up. I go out every day and I just take a pictures of the same thing, of the vines and the zinnias, those big flowers. I was telling Jay that those are the flowers, the wildflower mix that grew in the sun on that side of the yard was really, as Scott, my friend Scott would say, underwhelming because it took those zinnias. I planted them May 29th, and they did not bloom until it was the end of August or the beginning of September. So I just had these flowers that looked like they were going to, these, the green, the stalks, the stems, and the leaves that looked like they were going to bloom, but it honestly took them 4 months to do something, and now they're just going like crazy. They've got new blooms that haven't even bloomed yet. And some of them are as tall as I am. Not that I'm a giant, but I'm 5'3". And so they're just amazing. So I wonder, they're very hardy. They may withstand that freeze. I don't know. But anyway, it's just the most delightful time of the year. To me, I just love it. It changes every day. And it's fun to watch, and it's fun to take pictures with the sunlight hitting in, at different times of the day, because those colors really are beautiful. So, and they don't last long. But anyway, that's my yard and fall update for, October 29th, 2024. Thank you for being here today. If you can, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I'm excited about the teaching segment today, as always, and you are welcome to ask questions about it or comment on it in the chat room. I will answer those after the show. I get going and I just follow my intuition. And it's been more important to teach lately. So if you would like a reading from me, however, you can find me every single day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I'm busy when you stop by, put in a callback request or a scheduled call request, and I'm notified immediately and will get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. I do still have on 12listen my Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session available. Autumn is the time of the harvest, and boy, those colors really look like the harvest. This is the time where we bring it in. We bring it in. And only we can work on our ability to receive. We just, everything we need, every single thing we need, all supply, whatever it is, whatever you need, is within you. It is there. So we just have to work on our self-concept and our ability to have whatever it is we need in our lives. That's it. It's all an inside job, as Reverend Ike would say. Our beliefs are what limit us. So this is a session that where we can clear the way for you to receive all that's abundant, all that this beautiful time of year has to offer. So, expansion is the name of the game. That's the name of the game for divine beings in human bodies. So this is a good session. Well, this is a bit, speaking of 12listen, this is a big week on 12listen. Thursday is Halloween and Friday is the new moon, and we will be celebrating both with reduced rates on calls and chats both days. I will be available both days about 10:30 in the morning Pacific time, but I'll be signing off Thursday about 4:30 to teach my You Empowered class at 5 o'clock. And I doubt that I'll be back online that night, but I will be online into the evening on Friday, and I would love to talk with you. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. Just means you leave your email address. I also want to remind you of the gratitude board on onetolisten.com. This is the time of the harvest, so post what you're grateful for. The advisors of OneToListen will add our intentions to yours, and you can post anonymously. So why not? Let us support you. You know, when we add our attention to your intention, it powers it. You know, that's power. That's agreement. And there's power in agreement. So, as I said, why not? Thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. And I think I speak for all of the hosts on 1-2 Radio. When I say thank you for listening, there are archives of all the shows from all of us in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. So please take advantage. I mean, just it's wisdom, it's fun, it's passion, and it's entertainment. So, you know, if you got a you got some spare time, or if you're just looking for something to do, go to 1-2 Radio, go to the on-demand section and listen to a show from somebody that you love, or somebody maybe that you've never listened to. That's always, every time I listen to somebody I've never listened to, I can't say every time, but many, many, many times, it's like, whoa, yeah, that clicks, you know, that hits, that resonates, whatever the word is. So anyway, they're all there. It's like a treasure trove. It really is. It really is. And speaking of 1-2 Radio, I just want to let you know that Erin is hosting an ancestor meditation on Halloween at 5 p.m. Pacific. So I just wanted to get a shout out there done for Erin. And I just want to say thanks to Jay for all that he does for us on 1-2 Radio and for producing my show. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Akalia called Cape Porcupine from the Nine World CD in Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm happy that you're here. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I think it's really lovely. So today I have a few things kind of rolling around in my head that I want to talk about, and I think they all connect. I'm pretty sure they do. I go, and it's like, oh, this, oh, and that, and that, and that, and then they somehow just all seem to fall in line like a lovely puzzle. So, the first thing I want to talk about is imagination and play. And over the past several weeks, I've been talking about imagination, a la Neville, as the key ingredient in changing our self-concept and demonstrating our good. Because the only way you're going to see yourself differently is by using your imagination and imagining how you would feel, what it would be like if you were whatever, if you had whatever, if you were doing whatever. That's it. And that is imagination. And as Neville said, God in man is man's imagination. Imagination is truly the key ingredient in changing ourselves and demonstrating our good. So today I want to talk about it though in a little different way that I feel will still yield the same result, but just give a different view, a viewpoint, a different, yeah, viewpoint, I guess is what it is, or not a different example. Let's say that, a different example. As I said before the break, Halloween is this Thursday, and it's always been my favorite holiday because to me it represents imagination, creativity, childlikeness, and wonder, and all of those to me equal freedom. They just equal freedom because when you're in your imagination, when you're in that childlikeness and wonder, and that to me, Halloween is the example because that's where we are, and that's what brought all this stuff to the surface to talk about. But anytime you're doing something that's creative, you're in that. There's wonder because imagination is new. It's not, it's it brings to us something new, not something that we've done before. So it's the most important tool that we have. And I'm going to talk about it in relation to my class, the You Empowered classes that I teach, because they're classes about how to use your clairvoyance, which we all have. And imagination is also known as clairvoyance. It's the same thing. We use it in class and in my work to see and heal blocks in the energetic body, to see the chakras, and to see tools that we can use to clear energy out of the chakras that doesn't belong. So it's all imagination. We sit down, we get our space, we are in imagination, and that's where we are through the whole class. That's where I am. In every reading that I do, and every person that I talk to, they may be asking a question that's different, but somehow I'm led back to what I'm seeing, in their energetic body and how that shows up. It's really, for me, it's just wonderful to do this kind of work. And, maybe it's part of how much I loved Halloween, how much I loved using my, I've just always, from the time I was a kid, spent a ton of time in my head, in my imagination. I just did, because that felt, I don't know, that was very comfortable for me. And so it kind of stands to reason, I guess, that I do the kind of work I do, and that I love it so much. And it's, as I said, it's wonderful to do it, but it's even more wonderful to teach it. Spirit speaks through imagination and play. It just does. God in man is man's imagination. So the more we can be there, and also in an attitude of play or childlikeness, the more we are receptive and open to what spirit has to say. Now, I'm talking about this in the context of clairvoyance and reading and my class, but this is it's not exclusive to that. Spirit speaks through imagination and play, no matter what you're doing in your life, no matter what. It's valuable knowledge to have when you sit in meditation to just be available to that, to be available to sit in your sixth chakra in the center of your head and just be available. That is your imagination space, your clairvoyance space. And it's also completely neutral. If you take your attention there right now, it's behind your eyes, between your ears. It is completely neutral because it is out of the lower chakras, the lower human chakras of emotion and physicality and those. So you're in neutrality. You're there. And when you're in neutrality, you're able to just be the observer. And so you can observe what spirit is saying to you through and as imagination, as pictures. You might hear it. But I realized in teaching this and talking about it that, in daily life, the concept of play is something that can be very foreign, right? I mean, really foreign. And it depends, it depends on what we do for a living, how we were raised, how we feel about ourselves. It can be difficult to let ourselves imagine and play. It just can, because sometimes, those old voices come in and say, well, you're just wasting time. What do you think you're doing? You're just wasting time. You're doing nothing. You're daydreaming. Daydreaming. Remember sitting in class when you're a kid, looking out the window, daydreaming? Or I didn't even have to look out the window and I could be daydreaming, but that was a waste of time. And what's so interesting is if you think about that, that is a waste of time. No. Being in our imagination is the most productive use of time that we could have because we're in the present moment. And we leave the material world when we're in our imagination. But it can be disconcerting when you're not used to it because you have to be in a space of not knowing, being okay, not knowing what might show up in your imagination. I mean, it's trickier than saying, oh, just use your imagination. Okay. But there's so much more to it. It's so much deeper and more powerful than I think we may give it credit for, unless we know. Imagination is fresh. It's creative. It shows us what our experience or what we know can't show us. It's new. It's new. Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge. Of course it is, because knowledge is what is known, what we've experienced. And imagination is creative. It is life. It is information, inspiration, and it is love. It is love. When I teach, I ask my students to be in a place of kindergarten and play. Like, when we were little and drew purple trees and green cats and thought they were fantastic until someone told us that trees were supposed to be green, right? Big old squash on our creativity there. But this is important. The purple trees and the green cats really do come into play, not them specifically, when we work clairvoyantly, because we see in pictures. We see in pictures. If we are clairvoyantly reading our own energy or someone else's, spirit communicates in pictures or colors. And we have to be able to just have what we see. And that takes neutrality and being in that attitude of play. They go together. Imagination and play and neutrality all go together. And you could even throw in there amusement, just being in that place of amusement. Like, oh, that's amusing. That color that I see is amusing, or not being serious, not being serious. not controlling, because you're in a place where you are not in control. I mean, you're in a place of deciding to use your imagination, deciding to be available and see what spirit is saying to you, but you can't control what that is, and you don't want to. You want to be in that space of being out of, as I said a minute ago, the material world, and being really in communication with spirit. That's what it is. It's what imagination is, communication with spirit. So, neutrality, as I said, being an attitude of play is important, or we start judging and questioning rather than receiving the communication. It's like, well, should it look like that? Or is this real? Or whatever it is, we're not in our neutrality if those questions are coming up. But again, I'm putting all of this in context of what I teach, but it's the same thing when you're in meditation or prayer or just imagining, just being free. And I think it also comes down to when you're noticing, when you're doing something that's enjoyable, and or you're noticing beauty, you're in a beautiful place. It's like when you're in nature, you don't look at that and go, is that the way that's supposed to be? No. Are those supposed to be that color? Are those supposed to be that shape? Are they supposed to be that tall? As in azaleas. But the thing is that when you're neutral and you can have what's coming through from spirit, it doesn't have to make sense. We don't have to figure it out. And we're better off not to. We're better off not to. Just letting it unfold. Letting it unfold. I mean, you can put it in, for example, someone telling a story. If we listen, if we're paying attention, we hear the story. But if we get hung up on any part of it, we miss the point. We miss the point. It's the same thing. So allowing ourselves to use our imagination requires that we trust it. That we trust it. That we know that this is us talking to God and vice versa. That's the difficult part. Trusting it, and especially when you're reading clairvoyantly, that's difficult. That takes practice, and that takes just returning over and over and over to neutrality and declaring yourself, the instrument through which spirit speaks. And as I said, trusting it is the difficult part, because when we're reading clairvoyantly, we're not controlling anything. We're just waiting to see what spirit, also known as our imagination, has to show us. When we're in our imagination, though, this is the beauty of it. Clairvoyant, not clairvoyant, anybody. When we're in our imagination, we are completely in the present moment. And when we're in an attitude of play, we are completely engaged in what we are doing in the present moment. And we are curious to see what might show up. Well, that was, as I said, the clairvoyant perspective on using imagination. But in meditation, visualization, or just practicing the presence of God within, being in an attitude of wonder and childlikeness is extremely valuable, because no matter how spirit speaks to you, it speaks through imagination and play. And letting go of preconceived ideas about how things are supposed to be, like when you're in meditation, how this is supposed to be, how it's supposed to show up, how God is supposed to talk to me, what I'm supposed to be doing. Alan Watts talks about meditation and says, if you are going into meditation for a purpose, for, to grow or to expand or whatever, he says, you are not really meditating. Meditation is enjoyable. It's fun. And there are no rules to it. You can breathe deeply. You can sit and just listen with your ears that brings you into the present moment and takes you out of your mental chatter. There are ways to get in there. You can use a mantra. You can do anything, any or a guided meditation that gets you to a point where you just arrive and listen. But it isn't work. It isn't work. And when if we can just let go of that control and those ideas of how things should be because of what somebody else said, then we become as little children, right? What, think about kids. Man, every day is a new day. Yeah, I might be going to school, but I don't know what's going to happen at school, and I can't wait to see. You know, my little grandson Beau is in preschool and he's having a blast. But he's like my picture of how I want to be when, you know, when I am in that childlike place, when I am in that imagination and play space, because he's all in. And we're a long way past that at this time in our lives from the time we were little children and in that really genuine place of not being any other way. But we can go back there. We can go back there. And it's just a matter of letting go of everything. You know, relaxing your muscles, just relaxing and being in that beautiful place of, I don't know. I don't know what this will look like. I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see. Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, where's the kingdom of heaven? It's within us. It's within us. That's the place we contact every single time we practice the presence, every time we pray, every time we meditate and allow our imagination to talk to us, allow spirit to talk to us. You know, we can bring, talking about play, I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit here. We can bring play into our lives by being in the present moment and using mindfulness, focused, you know, exclusively on what we're doing right now. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting because when we do that, when we're really focused on what we're doing, we're in it. You know, we're in it. Whether you're writing or doing laundry or whatever it is, we're in it. And that is part of that childlikeness. I was watching a really delightful Alan Watts video called Work as Play. And he was talking about, he starts out this video. It's hilarious. It's one of his essential teachings videos, and you can find it on alanwatts.org. I think you can also see it on YouTube. I think I saw it there first. but anyway, he's got an orange, the fruit, an orange on a string. And he starts out by swinging that orange around on the swing over his head. And then, you know, the title of the video is called Work as Play. And the first thing he does is hits himself in the head with the orange and starts laughing. And it's just, I mean, it's honestly just delightful because he gets just a big kick out of that that didn't work. Well, then he gets it up there and spinning. And he goes, you know, this is fascinating. But why is this fascinating? It's fascinating because all of my attention is on it. And I want to see how long I can keep it up in the air, spinning in a circle over my head. And he said, I'm just really fascinated by this, you know, even though I have to do this show, this video. So it was started out exactly perfect for what he was talking about. But then he was talking about actual like jobs that people have and how you can transform work into play. And he talked about being in New York City and having his shoes shined by a man that made shining shoes into a dance by using rhythm as he buffed his shoes. And he said there, he had this beautiful rhythm going, and it was totally enjoyable to watch. And the man was just in it, you know, it was an example of him loving his work. This is what I have to do. This is what I do for a living. I shine shoes. What an unglamorous job. But how can I get the most out of it, you know? And he said it was just beautiful, beautiful to watch this guy and just uplifting, right? Because that vibration has to bless everybody that sits down to have their shoes shined. So that guy was, doing God's work, absolutely. But he also talked about washing dishes. And he said, if you look at a pile of dishes, you might think, I'm going to wash these dishes and later on I'm going to have another pile of dishes to wash after we have another meal. But if you're in the present moment, you only have one dish to wash. One dish to wash. Right now, I have this dish to wash. And you can make a dance out of how you wash that dish. You pay attention to it, you put it under the water, you put it in the stack to the rack, I should say, to dry off. And then the next dish, here's the next dish in this moment. But this is all I'm called to do is wash this dish in this moment. And so I can be in it, I can be mindful, and it can give back to me. And it was just a lovely, lovely video. I encourage you to watch it if you want to. And he said any work can be transformed into play. And if we do that, we can work all day and not be tired. And I completely understand what he was talking about. I completely get it. Cleaning is like that for me. I love to clean house. And even in the summer when I was out pulling weeds in my flower beds, sometimes, I'll admit, it's not like I get up and go, oh, I'm going to clean house today. Sometimes I do that and I'm motivated to do it. And sometimes I have to talk myself into it. But after I get started, after I get in a groove, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I find myself, after I've pulled weeds, out in the backyard looking for more weeds to pull. Or, if I'm cleaning house, okay, what's the next thing I can clean? What can I do? It has its own momentum. It has its own momentum when you're enjoying what you're doing, no matter what it is. Work, in this case, we're talking about work, but no matter what it is, it has its own momentum. When you transform work into play, you're enjoying it and you are in flow. And being in flow is love. You're putting love into what you're doing, washing that dish, pulling that weed. And when you put love into what you're doing, what you love loves you back as enjoyment and accomplishment. And the thing of it is, too, is when you get into that attitude of play, it is revitalizing. You're going and going and going. And pretty soon, like in cleaning house, when I do my fall cleaning, which I got a start on, like I'll work into the evening and it's like, wow, it's like 8 o'clock. And I'll be online and taking calls. It's not I'm doing that exclusively. I don't take time off to do it. But I do it. But that's the other part of flow. Because I'll be working on something, a room or something that I'm doing. And as soon as I finish the specific thing I'm doing, the phone will ring. And so everything joins that flow. My calls, what it just, and it's just amazing. And I notice it. And it just makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. It's like, thank you, Father. This is perfect. Because I'm just the instrument for the cleaning getting done. So I want to share more about the benefits of enjoyment and childlikeness and love, but from some mighty wise men. Ernest Holmes wrote Creative Mind in 1919. And I've been, I've shared him a lot along with Neville over the past several weeks. But today I'm going to share from a couple, well, three of them today, different ones, Ernest being one of them. He wrote in Creative Mind in the chapter called Be Happy. He said, how can we hope to make the world see the right way unless we overflow with joy? The man who is always glad will surround himself with people who are happy. And life will be a continual enjoyment. This robs no one. It does not make a race, a human race, of irresponsible people. It makes a world of joy, a world that is good to live in. People and things are all right. Let them alone and enjoy life. Your very atmosphere will cheer and uplift the people who contact you, and a new life will enter into them. In a chapter called Live in the Present, he says, life is for us today. Today we are setting in motion the power of tomorrow. Today is God's day, and we must extract from it what of life we are to live. Tomorrow, in the divine course of events, will take care of itself. The soul that learns to live in the great gladness of today will never weary of life, but will find that he is living in an eternal here and now. Now, all good is his. Now, all life, truth, and love are his. Now, he has entered in, and the good things of life are his today. He goes on to say, learn to see God in all manifestation, in all people, through all events. The ordinary person only sees a lump of matter. Not so with the awakened soul. He sees in all things the divine mind at work, molding out into expression what it feels itself to be, of life, of color, of form and beauty. What we see is the body of God. Full, free, complete, whole. God's thought of himself coming out into wonderful beauty and color and form. The infinite one manifesting in an infinite variety of forms. Ah! Breathe it in. It just feels so good. It just feels so good. So uplifting. So the next person that I'm going to share with you is Judge Thomas Troward. And this is from The Hidden Power, his book called The Hidden Power. And it's a chapter called Goodness. And he writes, so with that universal power, which we call the spirit, it has an inherent generic character with which we must comply if we would employ it for our specific purposes. And this character is summed up in the one word, goodness. The spirit is life, capital L. Hence, it is its generic tendency must always be lifeward, or to the increase of the livingness of every individual. And since it is universal, it can have no particular interest to serve. And therefore, its action must always be equally for the benefit of all. This is the generic character of spirit. And just as water or electricity or any other of the physical forces of the universe will not work contrary to their generic character, so spirit will not work contrary to its generic character. The inference is obvious. If we would use spirit, we must follow the law of spirit, which is goodness. And that brings me to an affirmation that I learned years and years ago. It's an affirmation from Charles Fillmore from his book Prosperity, which is fabulous if you've not read it. And that affirmation is, I owe no man anything but love. And it's from the chapter on financial debt. Now, as I said, I've known the affirmation for years, and it's very powerful. I owe no man anything but love. But recently, it's taken on a deeper meaning than owing money. And I think it has to do with living in integrity and being a true and transparent person. You know, being the clear instrument of the Father's appearing in the physical plane, being honest, kind, and depending only on Source for everything. I think it's an affirmation of no strings attached, no attachment or clinging or demand toward anyone. And I think it's an affirmation of all that I've just read to you from Troward and Ernest Holmes. I owe no man anything but love, but I owe every man love. And that brings me to creativity springs from love, U.S. Anderson from Three Magic Words. He wrote, "Life seeks for knowledge, and creation is the measure of what has been learned. Thus, creation is the purpose of life, and creation springs from love. Each of us has a talent, sometimes several, given especially to us. For through us, God has become something unique in the universe. Love or die. Love is the motivating law of life. On all sides, we see the inexorable command of the universe, love or die. Through love and by serving, we multiply abundance and good and knowledge and beauty and comfort. By working with love, we add all things unto ourselves and add all things unto humanity. God is love," said Jesus. "He dwelleth within me, and I in him. He doeth the works." Thus, the great teaching he left us is that all humanity dwells in love, and love dwells in all humanity. And all things, good, great, and small, are wrought by love. You know, the bottom line is that we call our own tune. We do. We are master and commander in our life. And everything outside of us, consciousness is cause. Everything outside of us, to include our physical bodies, is the result of our consciousness. Our consciousness is God. Our imagination is God. And through using our imagination to focus on what we want to be, how we want to be, our concept of ourselves, and then we are in that place of change. And positive change. So, you know, everything is relative. Everything. We reap what we sow in every moment. Attention is our superpower because it expands what it is focused on and diminishes what it is taken away from. And we get to choose how we use it. Focusing on what is happy, what is good, what is uplifting and inspiring is way more important than you might think. It's not Pollyanna-ish. It's not. Think good thoughts. It's not that. It's creating a difference in your life. Think about how you feel when you know, if you just watched the news or if you know, got into a conversation or you just got into a negative train of thought, which we do. We're human. I mean, and that's the atmosphere that we navigate through every single day. You know, the human mind, the universal mind, which contains every thought and emotion from every person that's ever been on this planet. And those run the gambit, right? From good to its complete and total opposite. So it happens. You know, it's not like we just decide I'm going to think negative thoughts. We don't. We don't. It happens. But the thing is, think about how you feel when you're doing that. It instant, and that's the relativity, right? That's you are reaping what you are sowing in that moment by anger that might be boiling up in your system, or a stomach ache, or it's instant feedback. Instant feedback. So it's more important to think about what we do want in our lives. Like, life is what it is. The world is what it is. It's like Ernest Holmes says, leave people and things alone. Leave them alone. Focus on yourself. Focus on you. Focus on enjoying. Focus on good. Focus on, you know, because when you are in that space of love and flow and whatever it is, Man, that's just beaming out from you to everyone around you, to everything around you. And that attracts. So, if what you want in your life is good and expansive, don't give your attention to the opposite. This is simply choice. It is simply choice. We used focused, controlled imagination to experience what we want to do, be, or have in our imagination when we want to create something different and change our self-concept. We do that. We controlled imagination to be able to feel what it is we want to be, to really be in it. So we revisit it, but we remain unattached to how it will come about. The wisdom and unconditional love of the infinite God mind has it covered. Has it covered, and it will come about in the most perfect way. It just will. And now, as I said, the word will, I'm going to leave you with one last thing from Judge Troward. From his this is the Edinburgh and Dorr lecture, the lecture on will. He says, the will power, when transferred from the region of lower mentality to the spiritual plane, becomes simply a calm and peaceful determination to retain a certain mental attitude in spite of all temptations to the contrary, knowing that by doing so, the desired result will certainly appear. And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found that valuable. I feel good. I feel good. I appreciate it. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world, the way that you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Don't forget about Aaron's show on Halloween at 5 p.m. on 1-2 Radio. And everyone, just I wish you a very, very blessed week. Bye-bye.